What's up, everybody, and welcome back into another edition of the Valley Experience Podcast, an Arizona sports podcast that brings you everything Arizona sports related. I'm Ryan Pasesnik, and I, of course, am joined alongside Logan Lober, and we have a special guest with us here today, Connor Colby, going to be coming in here and talking some AZ sports. Guys, it is great to be here with you and talking AZ sports. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing good. Excited to be back. We're going to get into the season preview of the Arizona Cardinals. So excited that football season is back. Glad to have Connor on. He obviously knows his stuff about the Cardinals, and we're going to get into a lot of that, just from stuff we've seen in training camp to predictions going into the regular season. And we had a game last night. So, and Ryan, I know you're at the game. Connor and I, we both watched the game. So Connor, I'll go ahead and start with you. What are some of the things that, stood out to you from last night's game?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on here. Super exciting. But some of the things I feel like we're used to just subpar to below average defense. And I loved everything that Jonathan Gannon and the new defensive coordinator, Nick Rallis, all put together. So I love the scheme. It looks great. And all the players looked like they really wanted to play.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Connor. I think that the defense, really held their ground. I mean, they had a few times where they certainly bent, but they, for the most part, did not break. I think that they, for the most part, really did a great job of getting pressure on a lot of Denver's quarterbacks throughout the entire game. Of course, in the first quarter, we saw Dennis Gardeck apply some pressure on Russell Wilson, ended up getting the sack. And I think that this is going to be the whole mantra for this Cardinals team, especially when you have a defensive-minded head coach and Jonathan Gannon, who's going to be implementing a new philosophy. This team is going to be defense first, and for them to have that good of a showing, it's off to a good start, and hopefully it could just continue to improve just as the coming weeks lead up all the way to the regular season.
Yeah, I thought it was really refreshing to watch last night's game. I know it's just one preseason game. The majority of the game was second and third strings, but I thought it was just really refreshing to just see, a defensive minded team go out there and just be scrappy. And I think that's just, a look into the future of what this team is going to be. Yeah, we don't have the most talent right now. There's no doubt about that. This new regime has really done what's needed to be done for a long time, and just tear this thing down, and just build through the draft, and just key in on development. So I think we're gonna just see a scrappy team focused on defense. And I think, as we get some more, homegrown talent, I think, we are going to see some, much needed improvement from this Cardinals team. So we're going to go ahead and kick off this Cardinals season preview with, a look back at what happened during the off season. We'll start off with the guys that left the team. Obviously, most notably, head coach Cliff Kingsbury was hired just 1 year after getting his extension, along with Steve Keim. And as for players, DeAndre Hopkins was cut just recently. Tried to find trade partners, but just that wasn't something that, his team was willing to do. And, kind of left a weird taste in some Cardinals fans' mouth. Thought that they'd be able to get a pick for for a guy of Hopkins' talent. But, Monty Austenfort, he has a vision for this team, and Hopkins just wasn't a part of that. So I'm fine with just, parting ways with Hopkins. He got what he wanted, and a new contract in Tennessee. And the retirement of JJ Watt, Zach Allen, and Byron Murphy were their notable free agents that left the team, and Marcus Golden left as well. So a lot of guys that we've been used to seeing the last few years in the Cardinals jersey, but yeah, it kind of got off to a weird start in free agency with all those guys leaving. So Ryan, what were your thoughts on how free agency started for the Cardinals?
Well, look, I mean, I thought that I was still going to be under the impression that they were going to be aggressive in free agency, but I had to remind myself that that was usually under the Steve Keim era, because that was the thing that I think, you know, with Steve Keim is he was the one who was always aggressive, like, you know, in free agency, especially when it came to trading for players. He did that, you know, most notably with DeAndre Hopkins and Chandler Jones. But I think, like, you know, the approach that you've seen from Monty Austinfort thus far is that, you know, what you just alluded to, he's not looking to go and build this team up through free agency. He's looking to build it up through the draft. And I think that that's a great way to, I think, really certainly kick off your rebuild, because you want to make sure that, you know, the guys that you draft, they build chemistry over a long period of time. And then you also extend them for a long period of time as well. Now, I think the only big thing is going to be, like, if they're going to develop in the way that they, you know, the Cardinals certainly hope that they want them to. But nonetheless, I mean, it's, we shouldn't be surprised by any of the additions that they made in free agency. As far as the departures go, it definitely sucks losing guys like Zach Allen and Byron Murphy. Especially Byron Murphy was being relied upon to be that number one corner, and Zach Allen was basically one of your, like, defensive anchors on the line, probably right next to JJ Watt. So I think that, I mean, those guys certainly, I mean, hurt the Cardinals defense in ways, because those guys were just so solid, you know, at their respectable position. But nonetheless, I think that, look, the Cardinals are in a rebuild right now. And I think eventually they'll get there soon if they just continue to make the right moves that are smart and best for the franchise.
Yeah.
And then Connor, I'll just ask you the same thing. What were, you know, your thoughts on some of the guys they, you know, decided to part ways with?
Yeah, I agree with both of the things you guys were saying. I loved how the offseason went. I really appreciated just kind of letting guys go and not overpaying for guys, especially for Zach Allen. He got a big payday. He deserves it. He got his money with Denver, but I just don't think it's something that the new regime wanted to do. I think that they're looking to kind of tear down on those older pieces and bring in guys, especially towards the end of the roster, that they want, and that they want to fit their scheme and fit their defense that they want to run, especially on that side of the ball, being Jonathan Gannon brought in and everything like that. Losing Byron Murphy, I feel like that was a tough loss. He didn't get a ton of money with the Vikings. I definitely feel like they could have brought him back, but they obviously go out and they draft two corners in the draft this past season. So they value the position and they want those guys that they took. So J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, I just don't feel like those were guys that were going to fit with this new regime. Those were guys, obviously, Watt retired. He didn't have any more in the tank. And Hopkins, it seems like he was just kind of done in Arizona. He wanted to go out there, and he said he wanted to win. Obviously, he signed with the Titans. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you want to win. But they gave him the money that he wanted. And I do like the move of not trading a super late round pick for him. It sounded like they couldn't get anything more than a fifth or a sixth round pick for Hopkins, and they took the route of just cutting him and saving all that money for next offseason rather than just getting some late round pick and not a lot else for him. So I really appreciated everything they did in the offseason. I love the hires of all the coaches and the additions that they made.
So moving on now to the guys that they brought in, and you know, we went all the way up until after Super Bowl week without a head coach hire. We were the last team to make that decision. And it ended up, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, we thought we were going to get that position. But it ended up being Jonathan Gannon, who was the defensive coordinator for the team that represented the NFC in the Super Bowl, being the Philadelphia Eagles. They had like 70 sacks last year. So, I mean, obviously they gave up, what was it, like 40 points in the Super Bowl? But I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's like, what else can you do with a team like that? So I'm excited about the Gannon hire. I think it's, you know, we've heard guys, Cardinals players, just kind of mention it being like a culture shock, just completely different vibe around the team, which is just something they desperately needed. And then with Gannon, they brought along offensive coordinator Drew Petzing from the Browns, and Nick Rallis, who is the youngest coordinator in all of the NFL right now. He like just turned 30. So definitely some young potential with this coaching staff. And then as the players, these are some of the notable guys that they brought in. Most of this offseason was focused in on the draft. It wasn't any, you know, big moves in free agency, but they did bring a couple guys from the Eagles with Gannon and wide receiver Zach Pascal and Kaiser White, linebacker. And then, yeah, just some of the other guys they brought in, LJ Collier, Chris Barnes, and Elijah Wilkinson. So, you know, I think one of the themes in free agency is just, you know, building from the trenches, building from the defense. You know, they brought in some O-line help. They brought in some D-line help. And, yeah, I just think, you know, some, you know, these moves aren't going to blow you away. But, you know, I think a lot of these guys can definitely contribute. So, I mean, Connor, I'm going to ask you this. What, who was your favorite signing that the Cardinals made?
Yeah, I agree. I loved all their signings that they made. Didn't blow anything out of the water, didn't go make a splash move, but you don't need to make a splash move, especially when you're this type of young rebuilding team. Even if this is a retool year, you don't need to go out there and do anything like that. But the signing that I appreciated the most is probably Kaiser White. I feel like his contract is a total steal. 2 years, $10 million. I think that what he did for that Eagles defense was completely unappreciated. And I think that Gannon understands that, and that's why he brought him on. It sounds like he's going to be the guy calling the plays or communicating the plays rather to the defense. So I appreciate that. That's a guy who's going to be a leader on this defense, where you have guys like Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker, Zaven Collins, guys that have potential at this point. Obviously, Buda Baker's a lot more established, but you have guys who have potential, but you need a guy who's going to be able to kind of stabilize the defense and communicate everything. So I really like that signing. He great coverage player, is kind of going to do everything that Gannon wants in this new system, and can hopefully teach some of these younger guys as well. So that's probably my favorite free agent signing.
I agree with Connor. I think that, you know, the Kaiser White addition certainly stands out, especially given that he has familiarity playing with under Jonathan Gannon when he was the, you know, when he was the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. But I also think overall too, I look at Jonathan Gannon, okay? Because, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, obviously I don't think, you know, Cardinals fans were really focusing on a lot. I think for most of us, or maybe at least for me personally, I was hoping it was going to be Sean Payton, because obviously he has the resume of being a Super Bowl winning head coach and being one of the top offensive minded head coaches in the league for a very long time. But I think, you know, the main thing here is that Jonathan Gannon is the right head coach. And sometimes, I mean, that's all that matters, I think, you know, with any franchise. I mean, because if he can understand and recognize that, I mean, the Cardinals obviously needed a culture change, given, you know, that the previous regime that they had under both Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury was just not going in the right direction for them. So, and so far, I've been really impressed with, like, you know, Jonathan Gannon. He's been, you know, he said all of the right things thus far. The players really, I think, seem to gravitate towards him and the message that he's sending them. And I really hope that, you know, this really turns out to be a home run hire for the Cardinals, because look, the Cardinals haven't had a stable head coach probably since Bruce Arians. And if we're able to get like Jonathan Gannon, like, you know, being that franchise head coach, I mean, for multiple years to come and not have to worry about it, that's going to be a good thing. So I probably say Kaiser White and Jonathan Gannon are probably the two guys that I look at as being the two key additions in the offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you guys too. I think I'm really excited personally about Gannon. You know, who knows if he's going to end up being, you know, one of the best head coaches in the league. But I think just the personality that he brings, it's just something that was just much needed for this Cardinals team. And, you know, I think with that personality, yeah, there's not, you know, he's mainly going to be focused on the defensive side of the ball, which, you know, doesn't have an insane amount of talent, but I think what Gannon is going to bring is he's going to get 100% out of everyone on the team. And that's just something that the Cardinals just weren't getting with the previous coaching staff and the previous regime. So, you know, yeah, like I said, I don't know if Gannon's going to end up being this awesome head coach, but I think if, you know, everything seems like the way that we think it's going to be, I think, you know, he's a guy that could finally be that stable head coach that we've been looking for. So moving on now to the draft class, which is what the Cardinals really put all of their effort in this offseason. They started off with the third pick. And, you know, early on, we thought, you know, right away, once the season ended, we thought, you know, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, like, they're a Cardinal, like, no doubt about it. But, you know, then obviously the NFL offseason being so long, things change. And, you know, the quarterbacks were all, you know, at the top of the draft team's draft board. So that definitely made things switch up a little bit. And, you know, on draft night, we saw, you know, just how awesome it is to have a competent GM with Monty Austenfort just working the phones and just maneuvering his way up, down, and then back up the draft board and, you know, getting their guy, getting, you know, Paris Johnson. A lot of people, including myself, would have been fine taking Paris at three. So the fact that we were able to move down and then come back up and get Paris, in addition to getting the Houston Texans first round and third round pick next year, just A+ draft. I think very few teams, if any, did better than the Cardinals in the draft. So, you know, obviously we're all fans of the Paris Johnson selection, but, you know, here's the draft class here for the Cardinals. You know, a lot of names, a lot of intriguing names, but other than Paris, the one guy I'm really excited to see, and we got to see a little bit of him last night, is Michael Wilson, the receiver out of Stanford. We got him in the third round. So, you know, I'm really excited to see Michael Wilson. Who are some of the guys that you're most excited to see with this for the Cardinals?
A guy that I'm very, very excited for and we got to see in action last night was Ketrell Clark. I feel like he just brings a level of athleticism. He just looks super twitchy out there. He even had that highlight play where he full-on extended and tipped that pass before it got to the wide receiver's hands. So he just looked great. He was in a bunch of plays where he was making good tackles. You love to see it when corners are tackling. I know in the past we've had Patrick Peterson here, and he was never a big tackler. So it's always good to see a corner who's going to go down there and be willing to tackle and play all the positions. But I just loved watching Ketrell Clark. I know that everyone's been raving about him in training camp, and he really proved that on the field. So I'm excited to see him next week against the Chiefs. And that's the guy that I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, I think for me personally, and granted, I mean, he's not going to be a starter, or he might be, you know, depending on just like, you know, the status of Kyler. But someone who I'm actually really excited to see maybe for the rest of the preseason, and if, you know, he's able to win the backup quarterback job, is Clayton Toon. I thought for the most part yesterday, I mean, outside threw it out of bounds when he needed to. He made some smart decisions. He got out of the pocket and made plays with his legs when he needed to. Had that really nice strike into the end zone for the touchdown pass, which was like on target. So I'm really looking at Clayton Toon maybe as potentially giving Colt McCoy a run for his money to maybe challenge him for that backup quarterback position. And if he's able to do that, then that's also, you know, really good for the Cardinals as well, and really maybe setting up for the future as Clayton Toon being maybe their backup quarterback. Because sometimes when it comes to the health of Kyler Murray, as we've seen over the past couple of seasons, that's something that is, you can't really rely on Kyler to be healthy for an entire season. So if you have a guy maybe in Clayton Toon that, I mean, in the event Kyler gets injured, you can at least, you know, have some trust in him moving forward. And I think overall, I think his performance certainly kind of justified that in some way. Although I think he's still has a little bit of an uphill battle if he wants to go and unseat Colt McCoy for that second backup quarterback position.
Yeah, I wanna talk a little bit more about some of the position battles that we're gonna, you know, be seeing in training camp and for the rest of preseason. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, Colt McCoy are gonna be battling it out for really, I think, that week one starting job, because it doesn't look like, you know, we don't really have a timeline for Kyler Murray. So I think we can pretty much rule out him not playing week one. Don't know how long that's gonna be, but you know, for the time being, you know, all eyes are going to be on Colt McCoy and Clayton Tune this preseason to see, you know, who's gonna beat each other out. But that's, you know, just one of, you know, multiple position battles that, you know, we're really going to be focusing on. Obviously, you know, the offensive line has a lot of moving pieces. You know, Josh Jones and Kelvin Beachum are, you know, currently slated to be backups, but, you know, Josh Jones really showed some flashes at left tackle last year. But, you know, the only thing about that is that's really the only place that he's shown flashes. And, you know, unless an injury happens with DJ Humphries, you know, the left tackle job isn't really up for grabs. So, you know, a lot of moving pieces there on the offensive line, as well as the edge rotation. Obviously their pick after Paris Johnson was BJ Ojulari. So, you know, they brought him in. Obviously they drafted two young edge guys last year in Cam Thomas and Myjai Sanders. So they have those guys. And now with Zaven Collins switching positions to edge rusher. So, you know, you have a lot of guys who I'm sure are going to be getting a lot of, you know, reps with the first team, trying to see who's going to be those two guys coming off the edge come week one. And then also we have, you know, a cornerback position battle going on. I think it's pretty safe to say that Marco Wilson's going to be cornerback one for this year, but you know, who's gonna step up and take over that cornerback two position? You got, obviously we drafted two, the Cardinals drafted two this year, and Garrett Williams, who's currently injured, and then Keytrell Clark, who, you know, Connor talked about, showed some good flashes last night in the preseason game. And then you have also guys like Antonio Hamilton and Christian Matthew. So, you know, just a lot of guys that are, you know, in competition for some good playing time. So first we'll start off with that quarterback battle. Who do you guys see taking that job and starting week one? Do you guys think it'll be Colt McCoy or Clayton Tune? Ryan, I'll start with you first.
I think right now at this point, it's going to probably be safe to say that it's Colt McCoy, given that, I mean, he's proven in the past that he can be a serviceable guy if he needs to step in and do so. But again, like I said, I think that if Clayton Tune can continue to impress, which, I mean, he was, again, really impressive, I thought, last night, then I think that maybe, you know, Tune could maybe slide into that backup position. But also at the same time too, I think at this point now, like, if you had to choose between the veteran and the rookie, you're probably going to go with the veteran in McCoy.
You know, I agree with that, that it is as much as we love watching Clayton Tune and the young guy coming in and rooting for him and rooting for that upside, Colt McCoy does have that spot. And it looks like at least in this first game, they were good with him in that spot. He only played one drive and they pulled him and Tune played most of the rest of the game. So, I do really like a lot of the things that Tune showed. I feel like he didn't really look like a rookie out there. He was standing in the pocket. He was making some good throws. Even that interception that you brought up, Rondell Moore looked like he slipped a little bit on that play. Looked like it was more a fault on the receiver. So I think that he played a pretty clean game. He overthrew some receivers that were wide open, but when you have an arm like that, it's kind of, you got to kind of learn to keep that in and hit the receiver where you need to. But I really like Clayton Tune. I like what he does in the offense that Drew Petzing wants to run. I think that he is a better fit for that offense than Colt McCoy, just because of the athleticism that he can use. He can He can run a lot better than Colt can. Colt's getting up there in age. You can't ask that much of him. So to me, if I was making that decision, I would pick Clayton Tune, and I'm hoping that he could prove that throughout the preseason, just because I think that they're going to have a better chance to not only win games, but get some value out of him. You took him in the fifth round. Who knows what he could become. Maybe he could be a trade piece down the line, or just like you were saying, a great backup quarterback to Kyler Murray, who we've seen is injury prone. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping it's going to be Clayton Tune. If I had to bet, I would say it's Colt McCoy, but I think that Clayton Tune would be the better option.
All right. Another storyline that's been surrounding Cardinals training camp has been the position changes of two former first round picks that this team has made in the last couple of years. One being Isaiah Simmons, who was the eighth overall pick just a few years ago, and Zaven Collins. Both of those guys have changed positions and really what is a crucial part of their career. I mean, Isaiah Simmons, this is the final year of his rookie contract, as they decided to decline his fifth year option. Kind of a similar storyline to another former Cardinals first round pick in Hassan Reddick, who Cardinals decided to decline his fifth year option, changed his position in the last year of that, and obviously he went off and went to the Panthers after that, but had a lot of success for Jonathan Gannon's defense in Philadelphia. So hopefully Isaiah Simmons breaks out, but hopefully we don't let him go to a different team after this year. And then obviously Zaven Collins, he's been switched to more of an edge rusher type of role. And, you know, last night we saw some good signs from Zaven, like right away, the first couple snaps, he was able to get some pressure in on the quarterback. And, you know, I like both of the moves that they made to decide to switch those guys' positions. I think Simmons is just more of a fit to be just kind of that ball hawk center field type safety. And, you know, Zaven Collins is, you know, he's pretty big for a linebacker. So I think it's, you know, a good move to move him down to the edge. But Connor, what are your thoughts on, you know, the Cardinals to switch these guys' positions after a couple of years of their career?
Well, I'll start off with Zaven Collins. I really like what I think that they're planning on doing with him. Obviously, he's massive. He's 6'5", 250, something like that. Even coming out of Tulsa, I know that people were talking about maybe him being like a hybrid type guy, and it seems like that's how they're going to use him. I'm hoping that they're going to use him very similarly to how Belichick uses guys like Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, these edge rushers who can drop back and then play pretty good coverage. So that's what I'm hoping that they can use him for. They showed that in that preseason game. He didn't play a ton of snaps. I think he only played one drive, maybe two, but in those he rushed the passer and he held his own. Even at going after that tackle, I was scared that he was going to look kind of small and get moved around, but he was holding his own really well, and they even dropped him back in coverage. So I'm really happy with how Jonathan Gannon is using him. Off-ball linebacker is in a very – it's not a position you can make a lot of impact in. So to be used in an edge role as well is – I think that's always a plus. So hopefully he can get better at that. And then with Isaiah Simmons, I've always loved Isaiah Simmons. It sucks at how they used him and how they just benched him basically his whole rookie year just because of one mistake. But I'm glad that he's getting back to what made him that elite prospect coming out of Clemson, using his athleticism, using his size, using his ball instincts. He's 6'4", 230, and he ran the 4.39 40. So let's use that athleticism. Let's put him back there so he can make plays on the ball, and then he can be that ball hawk, almost like a Cam Chancellor type player. So that's what I'm hoping those two guys can do in this up and coming season and become staples on this defense. And then, yeah, same thing, just going back to Hassan Reddick's situation. Let's hope that Isaiah Simmons plays well enough where they're able to pay him and keep him on this team.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Connor. I mean, cause you know, and this has been, I think, an issue with the Cardinals. You know, I think even under the Steve Keim era was that they would draft players, but they would play them out of their natural position. I mean, a perfect example is look at Deion Buchanan. They were drafting him to be a strong safety, but then they moved him into the dollar linebacker position. They did the same thing too, like with Hassan Reddick, when they tried to move him into inside linebacker, even though his natural position was more of like an edge rusher, outside linebacker type of guy. And I really feel like that's been the case, especially with Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons, and especially Isaiah Simmons in particular, because he's that type of guy where he's like that Swiss Army knife that you have on defense. He can play the middle. He can play the middle linebacker position if you need him to. He can play safety. He can play corner. He can play outside linebacker. And I think, you know, Connor, what you just alluded to, maybe like, you know, having him be in that type of safety position where he can be like a Cam Chancellor type of guy. I mean, he's proven that Isaiah Simmons has elite ball hawk playmaking skills. And so maybe that could be a point of emphasis there too, where they could maybe, you know, like put him in as a safety. But I think the main thing here is that they have to make sure that, you know, not only like, do they, if they feel that Isaiah Simmons is going to be the right fit for that specific position that they want him to, but also that Isaiah Simmons is comfortable with playing that position as well, because you don't want him to be unhappy here and then all of a sudden go off to another team next year and just be like this complete dominant defensive player, just kind of like, you know, with what you guys just alluded to with Zaven, or excuse me, Hassan Reddick. Focusing now on Zaven Collins, he's a guy who I too think has a lot of, you know, potential and upside as well. You know, obviously, like, you know, we just talked about how he was, you know, being used more on the edges and how, like, you know, he could also maybe potentially be like, you know, that drop back linebacker as well. But nonetheless, I think that both of these guys really, they're going to be like big factors here in this Cardinals defense this upcoming year. And hopefully they can really go out and show for it, because, I mean, look, we drafted them for a reason. They were both like, you know, the top of their class, you know, when they were coming out of the draft. So hopefully, you know, we, you know, the Cardinals can feel comfortable with where they put both Collins and Simmons in their defensive lineup, and that also Collins and Simmons are also comfortable with where they are playing defensively on the field.
Before we move on, I just want to point out that I have absolutely horrible jersey luck when buying jerseys. I got an Isaiah Simmons jersey because I was all hyped that the Cardinals got new jerseys, and I didn't want to get like a Kyler Murray jersey just because, you know, I like getting, you know, other players, and I've always liked Simmons. So I got his jersey like literally days before that they declined his fifth year option. So I'm really holding out hope that he's back for a few more years. And then I've got a Mikal Bridges jersey like a month before the KD trade, and an Oubre jersey like right before he got traded. So I'm hoping that Simmons stays around for a little bit so I can just like, so I can wear this jersey. But anyways, I agree with all you guys. I agree with you guys on your, you know, your points about the position changes. And, you know, last thing we're going to, you know, talk about as far as training camp goes is guys that we think can break out, not only just in training camp, but in the regular season and beyond. So we'll go ahead and give our predictions for both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Ryan, I'll go ahead and start with you. Who are some guys that you think are really gonna, you know, break out and show some good flashes for this Cardinals team?
I think I'm going to start off defensively here, and that's going to be Budda Baker. Now, I know, like, you know, Budda Baker still made the Pro Bowl last year, and he's been, I think, really the face of the Cardinals franchise. You could even, you know, argue ever since Larry Fitzgerald retired, because he represents everything that this franchise has. You know, he's gritty, he's tough as nails, and he really, you know, puts his all on the field. But last year, he dealt with some injuries, especially towards the end of the season. I mean, even though he played through them, there were still some times where you could tell that he wasn't fully 100%. And I guarantee, under Jonathan Gannon, who is obviously now a defensive-minded head coach, and given that Budda is one of the top defensive players in this league, I'd certainly look for, you know, Budda to come out with a vengeance and maybe act like, you know, and maybe even potentially put up a defensive player of the year type of performance. I mean, he could actually, in a sense, make that case. And I kid you not, and I'm not trying to be biased here, but like, really, Budda is the complete package when we're talking about safety. Offensively speaking, and this is going to kind of be a bit of a dark horse candidate here, Zach Ertz, which really sucked because, you know, towards the end of last, I mean, he got hurt probably right around midseason where it was during that Rams game when he had the knee injury and was out for the rest of the year. But he's another guy too. I mean, obviously, he was one of the top tight ends in the league for the longest time. And then he kind of fell off a cliff a little bit there in Philly and was traded to the Cardinals. But I'm really looking for him to certainly, you know, come out with a vengeance as well. For him, this is like, you know, the time where he can really also prove it as well. You know, if he can, you know, kind of get back to that same form that we're all being accustomed to, which I think he can. So yeah, those are my two guys, Buda Baker, defensively, and offensively, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I'll start with defense as well. I think my guy's going to have to be Zaven Collins. I know we were just talking him up a bunch, but I think that he can become the second best player in this defense pretty soundly. Buda Baker has that locked in as that number one defensive player, but I think if Zaven plays this new role and he buys in and Gannon has him running around, rushing the passer, dropping back into coverage, I think we could see double-digit sacks, multiple interceptions. That's what I'm hoping from Zaven, and he can kind of solidify himself as a really good defensive player for this team. I'm really looking forward to him and watching him play. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we didn't really bring it up too much in the new additions, but Froholt, the center that they brought in, from Drew Petzing's time in Cleveland, he brought in his guy to play some center for us. I really liked what he showed in that preseason game. He looked mean. He looked like he wanted to hit people, especially in the screen game, in the run game, and that's what I've been wanting to see. I feel like center has been a revolving door for us, especially with just all of the penalties, and we had Rodney Hudson come in, and that just didn't work out. He was at the end of his career, but I'm really looking forward to Froholt, maybe not becoming any like elite player or a great player, but just a guy who's going to be stable on that offensive line and can kind of firm up that inside spot, because it feels like that's been a headache for the Cardinals for a while. So those would be my two guys, Froholt and Zaven Collins.
Yeah, and then for my picks, I'll start with defense. And I'm going to go Marco Wilson. I've always been a fan of Marco Wilson. I think, you know, this year he's going in for sure as he's going to start the year as CB1. And, you know, he's a guy that's just like always like getting better. It feels like, you know, we didn't really have too much expectations for him when we drafted him. And, you know, he ended up playing really solid his rookie year. And then he got even better the next. And, you know, I expect the same. I think he's just going to, you know, just keep working hard. And I think, you know, he's really a guy that, you know, I don't know if he's going to end up, you know, being a cornerback one caliber type of guy, but I think he's just a guy that you can rely on to be, you know, your maybe like your number one or just a really reliable number two cornerback. So excited this year to see Marco Wilson. And then on the offensive side, you know, I'm really in between two guys, and if one of you guys would have taken him, then I just would have gone with the other. But for offense, I'm really excited to see what Rondale Moore is going to do in this offense. And also, Ryan, you went with Zach Ertz. I'm going to go with the other tight end and Trey McBride. I'm really excited to see those guys, especially Rondale Moore. You know, I think we were so excited when the Cardinals drafted him, and, you know, he made a bunch of or not a bunch, but he made some, you know, really nice highlight plays his rookie year. And then he just like, it just felt like he was getting used less and less every single week. And that just like, that just never made sense to me because, you know, yeah, he's, you know, a smaller guy. He doesn't have, you know, the longest arms, but I think if you use them the right way, I think you could just really see things open up in the offense. And, you know, I forgot the name of the stat, but I know that his like the amount of yards he would like run in his route was like 1 yard last year. Like he was like, or I don't even know. It might have even been negative because he would just be like, he would only be using these like end arounds or like screen passes where it's like, it just made no sense to me. So Rondale Moore is a guy I think is going to see a bigger role going into this year. And then Trey McBride's another guy I'm excited to see. You know, he was the guy they picked in the second round last year. Didn't make like too much sense at the time, but also he was, you know, in his class, he was ranked as like one of the top tight ends in that class. And, you know, just another guy where you just like didn't really see anything. Like he just like never saw the field. And it just like, I don't believe that that was because of talent. Like, I just don't. I think the past regime just had this weird thing of like waiting until like the last 4 weeks of the season for the rookies to like actually see real snaps. So I think Trey McBride is, while Zach Ertz is out, I think he's going to be, you know, kind of a safety blanket type of guy at tight end that, you know, either McCoy or Toon can rely on. So those are my picks for breakouts. I agree with your guys' breakouts as well. Excited to see a lot of these guys play, but those are our breakouts. And now, you know, we're going to wrap this episode up with looking at the schedule for the Cardinals going into the regular season. They are going to start week one on the road against the Washington Commanders. And, you know, it really doesn't get much easier after that. It's, you know, that those first 4 weeks, Commanders, Giants, Cowboys, and Niners, and then home against the Bengals in week five. Personally, I think that's a pretty rough start for this team. You know, we won't go game by game and, you know, give a analysis of each game because, you know, who knows what these teams are going to look like just coming into week one. We don't know what they're going to look like, let alone, you know, week 10. So we won't go game by game, but we will, you know, give our thoughts on what we think this season is going to look like as far as win totals and just, you know, a quick overview of how we think the schedule is going to pan out. So Connor, I'll go ahead and start with you. One, how many wins do you see this Cardinals team winning in this, you know, this new era? And, you know, what are just some things that you think we can expect to see this regular season?
So I definitely am coming at it with a more optimistic look. I think that I have a really high opinion on Kyler Murray. I know we haven't talked about him a lot. He's injured at this point, but based on what we've been hearing, I think he's going to end up playing a solid amount of games this season. At least that's what it sounds like. We've already been seeing him moving and practicing and just out. It doesn't look like a guy who's not going to play this season. So to me, that beginning of the schedule is very, very rough. The schedule gets a lot easier after those first five games. I think that in a good world, this team is gritty. It's scrappy. We get out some good wins early on behind this defense and really just running the ball and playing physical. And then once you get Kyler Murray back, to me, you're plugging in an elite quarterback right away. So you plug in that elite quarterback and the rest of that season looks a lot easier. To me, once again, this is really optimistic, but I think that they can get to 9-8 and make the playoffs. This NFC is very weak, and I don't really understand why the Cardinals in betting. I know that they're projected to win, I think it's 4.5 games. So I don't really understand that. I think that they're definitely going to smash that. That's something I'm going to be taking a piece of, but I don't really understand. I think that there's a lot worse teams, but yeah, once you get Kyler Murray back, I think he's going to prove everybody wrong. He's going to play great like he has most of his career, and especially around a team that's a lot more stable than the Cliff Kingsbury era where you never knew what you were going to get week by week. So I'm hoping that we kind of hold steady, play well, play gritty. The team all kind of buys into what Gannon wants to do, and then you just plug in Kyler and we could see where we can go from there.
Yeah, Ryan, before you go, real quick, Connor, you just said, I kind of forgot that, you know, we really haven't talked too much about Kyler Murray. And I just want to say that, like, all of us here on the podcast, believe it or not, are pretty pro Kyler Murray. I know that's kind of a wild thing to say at this time, which I don't understand, but I'm a big time Kyler Murray fan. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't get where all this hate came from, because like literally 2 years ago, he was like, for a good chunk of the year, he was the front runner for NFL MVP. Until things just, you know, slipped away, not even for Kyler Murray, it slipped away for the Cardinals as a team, with just like injuries and just everything just came crashing down. I don't put that on Kyler. I think the, you know, the narrative that like he doesn't care about football, and like, I just think it's completely ridiculous. There are like very few guys in the entire National Football League that have the talent of Kyler Murray, to where like he was a top 10 pick in the MLB and the number one overall pick in the NFL. So like, we saw what he did right away as a rookie. And then the 2 years after that, obviously made the playoffs in his third year. Yeah, we got blown out by the Rams, but we still made the playoffs. And then last year was like the first thinker year that Kyler's had. And then now all of a sudden, like, that's just what he's known for. And I don't understand the hate at all. I really hope that like when he comes back, he just completely changes the narrative back to what it used to be. Like, it's not even like we're looking way back and like, oh, he used to be so good. It's like, it was 2 years ago where this guy was like leading us to the playoffs. And I've never seen like a narrative change so quick before. So those are my 2 cents on Kyler. Like, I hope he comes back quick, because like, I miss watching him play. I really do. He does some crazy stuff on the football field, and you know, people need to remember that, because like, I just don't get the hate at all. So Ryan, what are your predictions for, I mean, you can talk about Kyler if you want, or.
Yeah. Actually Logan. One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Logan, to go and piggyback off of your point right there as well. I think, look, Kyler Murray, I mean, last year it's no secret that it was a disaster for the Cardinals. And Kyler Murray, you know, was also not, you know, walking into the best situation come week one as well. People forget, I mean, he had a wrist injury and he was dealing with COVID during training camp. He also had he also didn't have DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games of the season as well. And I really think too, like, you really started to see his relationship with Cliff Kingsbury go south, like the fourth game of the year against the Panthers. I mean, and look, it's no secret that I think, you know, from time to time, just us being Cardinals fans, there were times where Cliff Kingsbury's offense just looked disorganized. It looked out of sorts. It looked like guys didn't know what they were doing when they were on the field. And that's frustrating. I mean, especially when you're a competitor like Kyler Murray and you want to win on a weekly basis, that just had to be extremely disheartening for him. Now, and also on top of that as well, I think a lot of that built up frustration that, you know, you clearly saw Kyler have towards Cliff was also because, like, he was, in a sense, Cliff was holding Kyler back. Because if you look at it, I mean, Kyler's stats have kind of basically stayed the same. And I mean, he's put up good stats over, you know, the course of the time that he's been in the NFL. But I just feel like, you know, from time to time, Cliff just kind of gatekeeps him from that, you know, from his full on potential of what he can actually be. And I think just so far from what we've seen from Kyler, just like, you know, as far as like his body language and his attitude goes, you can tell that he's a lot more excited, you know, now having a guy in Jonathan Gannon where it looks like he's not going to gatekeep him now, and that they actually are going to entrust him a lot more as well. Because that was also, I think, another thing too with Cliff, is that he wanted to be like almost a little bit too conservative with Kyler in a sense, because he realized that, I mean, Kyler, look, he's an undersized guy. He's 5'10". One hit and, you know, there it goes. I mean, he could be out for the year. But also, like, look, I also share the same sentiment that you guys do as well. I'm a Kyler Murray fan myself. I think that a lot of the hate that he's been given has just been due to, like, you know, some of his, like, you know, the body language that he shows on the field. We've seen it from time to time where, like, he is like the hardest person. Like, he gets super hard on himself, especially, like, you know, when he throws an interception or he gets sacked. And I think sometimes people are quick to look at that and say, oh, well, he's just, you know, a wussy and a sissy. And, you know, he's, you could just clearly tell, like, you know, it's easy to get into his head. But no, he's just a highly, he's a competitor. Look, and he wants to win. And I mean, hopefully Kyler can come out with, you know, he can also be another one of those guys as well who comes out with a vengeance and really looks to go and regain that type of form that we were all accustomed to seeing as well. Because Logan, you just alluded to it as well. I mean, we've never seen a guy like Kyler Murray ever. I mean, to be like this dominant of an athlete. So yeah, no, absolutely. I share the same sentiment as well, that I just hope Kyler comes out and just kicks some ass, you know?
Yeah. Well, now that we got that out of the way, Ryan, you want to go ahead and give your win predictions for the Cardinals this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Connor, I'm going to actually piggyback off of a point that you made, because you said that the Cardinals were going to finish 9-8 and make the playoffs. It's certainly, I think, not out of the realm of possibility. And I'm just looking at a few games right here. I mean, because like you have the Commanders and the Giants that, you know, you obviously start off with in the first couple games of the year. Those are definitely winnable, especially since you don't know like what you're going to have with the Commanders. I mean, Jacoby Brissett looks like he's going to be maybe the quarterback to start there. And so like that could certainly be a winnable game. I don't care if the Cardinals have Kyler Murray or not. They should be able to beat the Commanders. With the Giants, I mean, you never know. Maybe last year was a fluke, because mostly that offense ran through Saquon. And I mean, Daniel Jones, all he just had to do was manage the game. And that was just like, you know, the perfect formula, you know, for them to win games. With the Cowboys, I mean, going up against Dak and CeeDee Lamb and that dominant ball hawking defense, that could present a challenge for them. The same thing with the Niners. With the Bengals, I mean, obviously, if they're going to be going up against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon, that's also going to present problems right there. Then I also look at, you know, teams as well, like the Rams, the Seahawks, the Ravens, and the Browns as their next four. The Cardinals have proven, you know, especially over the past couple of years, that they've at least been able to beat the Rams in Los Angeles. So, and you also don't really know, like, you know, what type of form you're getting with Matthew Stafford and really just like the health and availability of Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp, I should say, you know, really is going to be, you know, one of the top. He's going to, like, you know, come out and be like, you know, the Cooper Kupp that I think we're all accustomed to seeing. But Matthew Stafford, I think he's, you know, that's going to be a little bit suspect. Same thing with the Seahawks, and just like, you know, their ability to, I think, replicate what they did last season. With the Ravens, I mean, going up against Lamar is going to be a task. And with the Browns, I mean, you got Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb, who, I mean, Nick Chubb is one of the top running backs in the NFL, and Deshaun Watson has proven that when he is certainly, you know, not in trouble, that he is a good quarterback as well. And then you start to look at, you know, like the games after that. You have the Falcons, Texans, Rams again at the Steelers. The Falcons and the Texans should be games that the Cardinals should win. Again, with the Rams, I mean, I already analyzed that previously. You really don't know what you're going to have with them. The Steelers and Kenny Pickett, I mean, who knows? I mean, he could either take a step forward or a step back. And I think like that's going to be a little bit suspect there. And then they have the bye week, and then they have the 49ers, Bears, Eagles, and Seahawks. Now, those last four games are going to be a bit tough, but if the Cardinals can at least maybe beat the Bears and the Seahawks, they might have a chance. But circling back to the main point here, look, I know sometimes, like, you know, the reason why we're having probably this doubt with the Cardinals is because of the health of Kyler Murray, because he is, you know, obviously like one of like the main heart and souls of the Cardinals offense. But I think, like, you know, like if he comes back, realistically speaking, by week five against the Bengals and the Cardinals are 2-2, they're going to be in a good position. And maybe, I mean, look to go and capitalize off of that momentum and maybe go on that playoff run. But circling back to the main question here, I would probably say it's, you know, certainly not over the top to think that the Cardinals could win 9 games. So I'm going to have to say that as well. And yeah, 9 games and a playoff win right there with you, Connor.
All right, well, I'm gonna take a little bit of a step towards, I don't want to say realism, because like I'm not saying I disagree. I think that would be awesome, and you know, I think there's definitely a capability, like this team's definitely capable if, you know, all things go their way. But you know, in my opinion, I think this team is you know, best case scenario, looking at about like 6 or 7 wins. But what I'm more focused on is like, I want that to be like a good 6 or 7 wins, like encouraged about the way the direction that this team's going to be moving in towards the future. And, you know, I think it's just hard to make predictions with this team right now, because, you know, I think it all depends on how long Kyler Murray's out, and we really don't have like, you know, a confident timeline of when that's going to be. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be like as early as week 4 or 5, or it could be, you know, up until week 12. But, you know, I do think we see Kyler at some point this year. And, you know, my predictions will, you know, change based off of when we see Kyler suit up for the Cardinals. But I do think there's a very good chance that we are going to see Kyler this year. We're all excited to see him come back. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and lock my prediction in at, I'll go with 6 wins for the Cardinals. But like I said, you know, I want that to be an encouraging 6 wins where, you know, they're in a lot of the games that they lose, and just be an overall competitive team. So we got two playoff appearances and 1 6 wins. So, I mean, who knows how the Cardinals are going to be. They could win 2 games, or they could go for 9 and 10. So, or 9 or 10 wins. So it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out. But yeah, that's going to go ahead and wrap up our Cardinal season preview. So we covered a lot of stuff. I think we, you know, I really enjoyed this conversation with you guys. You know, we put a lot of effort, all of us, into, you know, this episode. You know, we all, you know, did our homework. We all tuned in to last night's game to give our thoughts on that. Ryan, you even went to the game. So, you know, I really enjoyed this conversation with you guys. I'm excited to finally have football back. So, Connor, you know, thanks for coming on. Obviously, I'm, you know, pleased to have Ryan with me do this every time we get around to doing this. But, yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. Go ahead and, you know, leave a like. That's, you know, the best way to, you know, show your support for us. And, you know, we're gonna keep coming out with the best content for you guys. Obviously, football's right around the corner. College football's right around the corner. Don't really want to talk about the Diamondbacks right now because they're falling apart, but
yeah, that's an understatement right there. I mean, golly, I mean, I'll prepare my rant maybe next episode if they continue to go on the slide that they're on, but like, God almighty, it doesn't get any worse than that.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. Again, Connor, thanks so much for coming on. Not too many, or couldn't have, you know, a better guest to talk some Cardinals football. So glad we got to, you know, sit down and do this, talk about what, you know, could be an exciting season for the Cardinals, but, you know, also might not be that exciting of a season, but nonetheless, thank you guys all for tuning in. Like I said, leave a like, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or, you know, just, you know, show your support by, you know, giving us a follow on social media if you're just listening on the audio version, or, you know, whatever it is. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this one, and we will see you all in the next one.